The anointed one lives inside of us. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our sufficiency. Jesus, our friend. Savior, Redeemer. Jesus, you're holy. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy and you're holy, O Lord. Gracious. Merciful.
You're our inspiration, Jesus.
Compassionate. When we were lost in sin, you came and you quickened us. That's grace. Was lost in darkness, sinner. Christ came to give me life. I didn't earn it. I didn't have to work for it. All I had to do was believe that he was the Son of God. Was and is to come. No works necessary. Just faith. Just faith that he is the anointed one that lives inside of us. Grace came. Grace came through love. A perfect redemptive plan through Christ Jesus our Lord. Beaten and scorned, the just for the unjust. My reconciliation to the Father was through your blood, Jesus. May we serve you with pureness of heart to the day that we die. Grace came and saved me when I was dead in sin. I was dead in sin. Christ came and gave me life. The gracious one lives inside of us. Perfection lives inside of us. A perfect example who did no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. Lived inside of us. He left us a perfect example that we should follow his steps. That we would commit to him who judges righteously, Jesus, just like you. We would commit to him who judges righteously. You've empowered us, Lord, with your life. We're not sinners saved by grace. But grace came and empowered me not to sin. For your life abideth in me. Grace came and empowered me to deny ungodliness. Grace came and empowered me. It says you don't have to sin. Because we live our life out of that holy of holies. And not out of the flesh. Jesus Christ, the perfect prototype. The perfect prototype, Jesus. The perfect prototype. Perfection. Jesus, the perfect one. Everything you did, Lord, you did it in humanity. You overcame temptation in humanity. And for that I thank you, because if you did, my Lord, I can do. Worship you, Lord. I praise you. Thank you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because I've concluded that you are with me, Lord. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And I will dwell in the house all the days, in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I worship you, Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in us, around us, surround us, and here. I thank you that as you've taught me all this week, that I'm able, through patience, Father, to relay the mind of Christ to the brethren. May I pace myself and allow you to have your way, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Worship you and praise you. Jesus, we love you. We love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Glory, you can be seated quietly, please. Glory. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. First of all, I want to thank those of you. The last 3 months of my life, I'm going to testify a little bit, then I'm going to get on with the lesson out of the book of Psalms. I want to thank those of you that checked on me this last 3 months of my life. It was the most trying times of my life. Not darkness, a trying time. Trying. I wasn't going to share this, but I felt the release to share it because I heard Gary Carpenter share some things that he went through. And I want to edify you by it. About 5 years ago was a very hopeless time in my life. I had no hope 5 years ago. I had 4 operations in this left eye. I could see nothing out of this one. I could still see 50% out of this one. I went in for an operation, a 4th operation on this side. I could still see. I could walk around. They operated on me for the 4th time. And after they operated for a month, I have never felt so much pain in my life. A month of agony. Pain, and my eyesight was worse. I went in seeing. I came out seeing nothing. So you don't think that Satan was playing mind games with me? But the pain that I was in, it was for a month. I didn't want to live. I had no hope that the pain would ever go away. I would tell my wife, just get in the car, take me somewhere, and just leave me there and leave. I don't want to live. All I can remember is her just hugging me real tight. She didn't have the words. Either she was hugging me real tight to suffocate me to I could go ahead and go, or she was hugging me tight because she loved me, thinking, this is my husband. I said, man, wow, maybe she's trying to suffocate me. But it was a long month. Pain, I couldn't get comfortable on my bed. It was the month of hell, man. 3-hour operation on my eye, they cut into it, and when they got done, and a month later when the pain left, they said, well, come on back. We won't operate on you again. No, sir. You're not touching me again. Either I'm going to believe God's word or I'm going to stay like this. But you're not going to cut me again. I was so hopeless, man. So hopeless. I had no hope. I wanted to die because of the pain. I mean, just consistent throbbing, just throbbing, throbbing. And then you could only lay a certain way. You couldn't lay a certain the way you get comfortable with your pillow. You know how you fold the pillow up, put it under your head, and sleep all crazy? I couldn't do that. And it was trying. That was about 5 years ago. I didn't ever think I'd get to the point of ever feeling like that again. And I haven't. But just recently, I'm going to share this with you guys. Because something happened. I had a stroke about, 3 months or? About 3 months. I had one stroke. I think it was when Pastor Brunt was when it was in Alabama. He was in Alabama. Is that right? He was in Alabama, and I had the stroke there. I think he was with Stephen and Taylor. I don't know their last name. I just call them the Crimson Tiders. That's where they're from. And Pastor, I guess Miss Candy called Pastor, and Pastor put Taylor on the phone, and she basically told me word for word, and statement per statement what was happening. She was absolutely right. I mean, everything she said was to a T. She said, you need to go to the doctor now. I did not go. I did not go for another month when I had 3 strokes back to back to back. Back to back to back. My blood pressure was 222 over 114. My triglycerides were over 1,000. Cholesterol was 350. The doctor said, you shouldn't be alive. Well, gee, thanks. I'm doing good. How about yourself, ma'am? But, you know, I had 3 strokes back to back to back, and something remarkable came out of my mouth that day. Remarkable. To the extent that I didn't fabricate it, I didn't get creative and try to think about what I was going to say, but something came out of my mouth that I'm still in shock even now, because don't get me wrong, I thought I was going to go meet my maker. I thought I was. I was in real bad shape. Blood pressure wouldn't go under 200. And I began to weep. I said, this is not right. There's no way. This is what I said. And there's no way that I'm going to go home and die, and my brothers and sisters are going to face persecution for this revival. I said, it's not right, Lord. If they're going to suffer persecution for this outpouring, then I am too. I will not go, Lord. So I stayed in the hospital 3 or 4 days, and I spread the gospel everywhere in the hospital. Everywhere. I told everybody about Jesus. Everybody. And I want to thank those of you that called, because that was a time in my life where I did need friends. And, you know, one of the best comments or the best remarks that somebody made to me was Kirsten. I don't know if she remembers or not. She called me. And the last thing you can ever tell me when I'm hurting is, I don't need your advice. The Word of God is my advice. It's my counselor, and I delight in His testimonies. So don't go in there trying to feel, don't feel sorry for me. That's not what I need at times like that. But Kirsten said to me, keep soldiering, soldier. I said, man, she's so right. She said, keep soldiering. And I did. And I did. Came home, changed my diet. Now my triglycerides now, I think, are 180 now. My cholesterol went from 350 to about 160 now in 3 months. I'm still in the fight. But it's a fight, if I do the right things, that I will win. Because I'm a son of God. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. So time passed. I began to eat better. Felt good. I put down a couple of pounds. Then about a month ago, another one came on me. Like never before, my whole left side of my body went numb. I didn't even know I had a foot. I couldn't feel it. I was just completely numb. I would pinch myself, and it was stronger than all the others put together. I was in the room. I said, honey, just stay here and pray. I got to get up. I remembered hearing a message from Gary Carpenter about decreeing and confessing the Word of God. Man, I got up with a vengeance. I couldn't feel my leg. I thought I was just walking on my right side because I couldn't feel nothing. I mean, literally nothing. It just went numb. I said, do I still got a foot? And my whole left of my head went numb, and my blood pressure went way up. But I went and sat down in the living room. And I said, enough is enough. It is written, by His stripes, I am healed. And I talked to that stroke. I talked to it. And this was 100 times worse than the other 4 combined. It was bad. I began to talk to it. I said, I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. It is written, Himself took my infirmities and bore my sickness. Matthew quoted the atonement, Isaiah 53. If you want to know what that means, see, many say that the atonement just was just for those to give their life to Jesus. for spiritual healing. No, that's not what Matthew said. Before he said himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness, he said this, and when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he spoke the word, and he cast out the spirits with the word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare my sickness. We are part of that all. I began to speak what is written. I raised up my voice. It took me 30 minutes. I talked louder. Not that my loud voice had anything to do with it, but I began to decree. I said, I am a son of God. I will not die, but I will live. Stroke, I command you. I speak to you according, not according to a narrative, not according to the flesh, not according to logic. I quoted the word of God. You have to leave my body now. I will live and not die. Leg was still numb. I didn't even know I had a foot. I can't see to begin with, and then I can't feel my leg. I said, oh my God, I'm cut in half. But I began to speak to that thing, man. Decreeing God's word, decreeing what is written. I could have done one or two things. I could have stayed there and allowed my flesh to talk to me, to tell me that I was going to die, or I could subdue the flesh and quote the written word of God. See, we're not called to entertain the flesh. Many of us do. We entertain it. If it speaks, we listen. No, when it starts speaking, we are to subdue it. When it starts speaking, we start speaking truth. The truth that we speak is the truth that we live, is the truth what we do. We speak the oracles of God. We speak the principles of the kingdom, and we live it. And if we stand firm and if we're not afraid of a little fight, we'll overcome. I said, you have to leave now. I'm not giving you a choice. I will not entertain this narrative and say, why me? I subdued that narrative and I spoke the words of the kingdom. 30 minutes later, went, laid down, went to sleep. No doctor, no EMS, no nothing. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's the way it was that night. Another one tried to come on me before, after that. I did the same thing again. Confessing the word of God. Not so he'll believe it, but I remind myself of what truth is. His word is truth. If it's truth, then it's not a lie. If it's truth and I believe it, it's going to work. But no, we can sit there hour after hour, day after day, week after week, year after year, and hear the same lie every single day and fall victim to a false narrative. Oh, woe be me. It's so easy to fall into that. We're just subdue that narrative. Mortify it, man. Speak into it in Jesus' name. And I'm still in the fight. I'm still in the fight, but it's a fight that has already been won. He's already provided. Now it's up to me to confess what he's already done with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you that you healed me 2,000 years ago through the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you that my sin and my sickness was laid on you, Lord Jesus. I worship you. I praise you. I glorify you. I'm not decreeing a narrative. I'm decreeing the gospel of the kingdom. And I'm still kicking. Even when I had them strokes, I would get my behind on the treadmill and still do 4 or 5 miles. What am I going to do? Quit? Roll over and die? I'm a son of the kingdom, man. So are you. My father's a king. I have citizen rights. I'm a joint heir with Christ. The flesh is always going to be there. It's always going to spit out a narrative. But we just stay there year after year, putting up with the same junk. Because it takes a little effort sometimes to stand up to a false narrative. It might cost you some sleep. But I want to live. I want God's glory manifested in my town. I want his power manifested in my town. I want all to call out on the name of the Lord. Words just aren't cutting it, man. Words are a dime a dozen. What are my words going to do to an 8-year-old kid dying of AIDS? Jesus loves you, little guy. Or what about if I got something else to offer him? Hey, tell your mom to weep not. Something good's going to happen today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be healed. I want to see the power and glory of my Father. And the more that I obey his word, the more closer that I get to him, the image of the kingdom outpouring is growing more and more and more and more inside my heart. That's what I want. I love what Jim Martin says. I'm after God. And the fruit of my relationship with God is revival. I'm after God. And you can't be after God. You can't pray in the Holy Ghost. You can't read your word and not want somebody to be healed. It's an impossible situation. I can't entertain the gospel of the kingdom. I can't go through the book of Acts, pray in the Holy Ghost. I can't fast, not read the Bible in entire context and not want somebody healed and born again. That's the fruit of it. The fruit of loving Christ, the fruit of abiding in his saying is you want more. One thing I can tell you, it was a rough 3 months, man. Somebody didn't feel sorry for me. They didn't say all the right things. They said, keep soldiering. Whew. Glory. Glory. I was excited to preach today because my mind, months ago, I couldn't even talk. My speech was all slurred. I couldn't remember nothing. I was so discouraged. But I never stopped praying. I was discouraged. I would hear my Bible for hours a day, and I couldn't retain nothing. But I didn't stop. Ufamane, the force of consistency, G5128, quality of character which does not surrender to circumstances or succumbs under trial. We march, man. Ufamane, G5128. We march. I've changed my diet completely. I've had a confession like I never have before. Something Pastor Bronk has preached for years. Gary's teaching talked me into it the first time that I heard it. Go figure. But one thing I can say, in that hard time, I never quit. I never quit spending time with the Lamb of God. I couldn't remember much, but I could remember, Lord, I worship you. I couldn't remember much. My speech was slurring. Couldn't remember nothing. Pastor asked me a couple times, you want to preach this Wednesday? I said, no, not yet, Pastor. Yet speech was slurring. but I'm ready today. I think I've been overly healed. I can remember things like I never have before. This is the way I see prayer, the way I see spending time with Jesus. When somebody's out of church or somebody I know is sick, I don't call them because it's the Christian thing to do. I call them because I love them. For that reason, and that reason alone. If I'm calling them because it's the Christian thing to do, then I want you to glorify me. I don't pray anymore because I have to. If you're still praying because you have to, you never started. Do you hear me? If you still pray because you have to, you never really started. I pray because it's my lifeline. I want to pray. I want that word to cleanse me. I want the Holy Ghost to lay stripes on my back, to chasten me, to show me where I'm missing it. I love it. The other morning I was up, but I don't pray because I have to. I don't. It's in me now. I don't hear the Bible because I have to. I do it because there's a driving force inside of me to hear perfection. I said during that time, I said, I'm not going to use this as a crutch. I'm not going to use this as a crutch that I had some strokes and woe be me. I'm not going to use this as a crutch. This is going to be a trophy because I'm going to overcome it by the word of God. It's going to be a trophy. Gratitude towards my Father. But I never quit, man. I never quit. I never quit. I never quit hearing the Gospels. I never quit. When my emotions were going haywire, I never quit. That word hufamone, that word patience has rocked my world. G5128. See, I believe you can't go wrong with putting the word of God over and over and over and over again in your heart. I believe that. But if you want to bear fruit, you got to have patience. You got to have hufamone. Without hufamone, you're not going to bear fruit. Hufamone means it's a force of consistency. It's quality of character. Hufamone, 5128, quality of character, which does not surrender during circumstance or succumb under trial. You want to bear fruit? Hufamone, man. I'm not going to waver. My flesh spits out a narrative telling me it's never going to work, but I don't live my life in the flesh. I subdue it. I absolutely, positively subdue it. It takes effort, but I do it because every day of my life, I'm falling more and more in love with this man named Jesus Christ. I believe in putting the word in you over and over again. But I believe we can bear fruit immediately if we include patience. In Greek word hufamone, 5128, we have that power immediately to bear fruit. That brings maturation. Because without hufamone, you can read it for 10 years and never mature. We can bear fruit now. Now. One thing that's gotten real easy for me, I've been in the Psalms lately. Been in the Psalms, Psalms 119, Psalms 23, Psalms 27, 18, 34, 91. I've just been in the Psalms. And let me help you out here. in our daily walk with Christ. Would you believe me if I told you that King David was a wretch? Would anybody want to argue that point? Was David a Romans 7 wretched man? Was he? Okay, how many of you say, yes, David was a wretched man from Romans 7? Okay, how many of you would say yay? How many of you would say nay? You're right. David was a wretched man. You know why? Because the good that he wanted to do, he couldn't do it. And the evil that he hated, that he did. But I learned from a wretched man. Psalms 34. And I heard a message from a lady named Ruthie. I believe she's from Northern Ireland. She preached at Pastor Dave's church. First of all, I love her accent. Oh, my God. Awesome accent. And she had a powerful message. And I heard the message this morning. You know me, I cry easy. When the wind blows, I cry. But my point is this. More than ever, I see it. We so gotta watch what we say. We so gotta watch it, man. If God's word is truth, if it's truth, then it can't be a lie. Are you with me? So if it's truth and I know that it is, and I speak contrary to truth, what am I saying? A lie. He says I'm healed by his stripes. I say I'm not. I am. I got to thank him for what has been done already. I'm learning that. David said in Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord when? At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Listen, I will. David says, the psalmist, a wretched man, a man spiritually dead, says, I, King David, I will bless the Lord at all times. How are you going to bless the Lord? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. It's one thing to go through Psalms 34 over and over again. I've probably gone through it thousands of times. It's another thing to do the verbs in Psalms 34. You know what I'm saying? I can read it, be drawn to it, glorify it, but we like the glorious parts of the Bible. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We like that part. But it's in righteousness that's established. See, we can quote all the glorious parts of God's word. God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We never quote what's after that. Never. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. We never quote what's after that. That's where the meat's at, man. That's where the meat's at. That's where your victory is. The victory is in the putting on of the verb. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. Lord, I hope in your salvation. He said, and I keep your commandments. So what gives me peace? What makes me hope in his salvation? Keeping his word. If I don't keep it, there is no hope that he'll come save me out of whatever I'm going through. And there'll be no peace in my life. But if I keep his commandment, I'll have the peace to finish this thing. I'll have hope in his salvation. That's why I can go through what I'm going through and still have peace in my life. Because I strive to keep his word. Now, I cannot keep his word and be tormented by this blindness. People say, I'm going through a lot. You're going through a lot because you stopped fellowshipping with the Lamb. The lot that you're going through is going to intensify 100% because you're doing nothing about it. You're worrying instead of seeking. If you seek, you won't worry. And if you worry, it's because you're not seeking. and worry will come find you if you're not seeking the kingdom. You don't have to seek worry. It will find you, my friend. It will absolutely, positively find you. Seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of the kingdom. You seek that. Worry won't consume you. But you don't seek God in the morning. You don't spend your time with Jesus. Worry's going to find you and torment you till you repent and get on with your walk with Christ. Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we say, glory, hallelujah. We never finish the rest of the verse. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will do your commandment. I have sworn, I've confirmed that I will do your commandment. Come hell, come high water, whatever is at stake, I, Homero Jose Luis Vendagut Jr., I'm going to do your word, even if it hurts. Even if a narrative is spitting at me, I'm going to still do that narrative and try with all my heart to do the word of my Father. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, he said, if you love one another. And love is nothing more than keeping his word. The psalmist said, Lord, I love your word. Well, why didn't he say, God, I love you? He said, Lord, I love your word. I do it. He said, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Psalms 119, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Either his word is your counselor, or your flesh and the false narrative is your counselor. One of them is going to win. So stay away from the Bible. Stay away from it. I dare you. You're going to be counseled by a false narrative. It's going to counsel you. It's going to counsel you till it becomes a light inside of you. And you think that that lie is truth, because you've let it dominate you for so long. Instead of standing up, I subdue you, I mortify you, and you begin to speak the word of God. I'm telling you, my friends, it's nice having a pretty sword. It's another thing to take that sword out and put it to work by decreeing God's word. Psalms 119, 150 times the word statutes, testimonies, commandments, precepts is used. 50 to 60 times it's referencing the doing or keeping the word. The power is in the keeping, man. The power is in the doing. David wrote a whole entire psalm on the power of obedience. It takes 20 minutes to go through it, but it has rocked my world lately. Listen to what he says. He said, I hate the double-minded. With thy law do I love. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. You are my hiding place and my shield. You think Goliath believes that? That God was David's hiding place and his shield. Lord, I hope in your word. I hope in it. I got news for you. You might not be knee deep in revelation knowledge. That's okay. The little bit that you know, apply what you know. You're going to be okay. The Lord blesses righteousness. He blesses a contrite person. He blesses one that seeks him. He blesses ones that even when he don't feel like it, when all obstacles and odds are against him, he'll still sit there and he'll sing praises to the Lord. Lord, it doesn't look good for me. The doctor says this and that. But the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Not during convenient times, at all times. His praise, the praise of God, will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall magnify the Lord. How was his soul going to magnify the Lord? By praising him. I magnify you. I praise you. 1,000 thoughts are going in my mind right now, Father. But I stand firm according to your word. I put your word in my mouth and I speak it, my Lord. There's power in that. There's power in that. One thing I got to do, I had to repent. Some of the things that the Bible will have you say during adversity are kind of crazy to a religious mind, right? What? You're healed. Homie, you ran into the wall. I said, yeah, I guess eventually I'll see. That's wrong. I'm scared of a little bit of persecution if I say what they might think is crazy. So I adjust sometimes to the conversation, not to sound super spiritual. That's got to be over, man. Homer, what happened? Nothing. Catching the healing. How's your eyes? Oh, I tell you, I can see a lot better because you're still ugly. I mean, it's time we completely surrender to saying his will along with doing it. You can say his will all you want. If you don't do it, you're saying his vanity. You can say, but if you don't do, you're saying his vanity. But if you do his will and you say the truth of the gospel, you're going to get results, man. In all this time that I was going through, I learned from a wretch, from a man that committed adultery, from a man that murdered, that conspired, that walked in pride. I learned from him. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. David, how did your soul make its boast in the Lord? I magnified him. When I was surrounded by the enemy, I magnified him. See, the war was already over. He had already won, but he had to do something about it. He put the word of God in his mouth. And he confessed the promises of God. One thing that he said also in Psalms 27, which I loved. He said, the Lord is my light. And Kirsten, what is it? Can you come read it for me real quick, Kirsten? Psalms 27. She's going to read it for us real quick.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord.
Notice the last verse says, therefore I will offer sacrifices of praise. I will sing joyful in his house. Therefore, according to everything that I said in verse 1 through 5, I'm going to enter his house. Now, he could have been talking about a physical house, but not limited to a house walking down the street saying, Father, I love you. I worship you, Lord. It wasn't just a physical house. David was in caves, in the cave of Adullam. He was always running from Saul. He carried God with him. In fellowship with God. He said, therefore, according to what I stated, I have confidence in one thing. My confidence is in one thing. The Hebrew says, my trust is in one thing. My enemies surround me. Armies surround me. War rises against me. My enemies want to consume me. But Lord, you are my light. And you are my salvation. He didn't say that to believe it. He said it because he believed it. He said, therefore, according to what I quoted earlier, therefore, in the tabernacle, in the cave, I'm going to stand up, lift up my hands, and I'm going to glorify you, Father, because you are currently my light and my salvation. And I'm going to worship you for what you are, Lord. There's one thing that I desire. He said, one thing. And the thing that I desire, that's the thing that I'm going to seek, a verb. I'm going to seek the one thing that I desire more than anything in the world. I'm going to seek you. It's a verb. We got to put it on. I have confidence in one thing. The thing that I desire is to know you, to abide in your house forever. He knew that abiding in the house of God, whether it was physical or in the cave of Adullam or wherever he went, he knew what he was going to do. The Lord is my light. He is my salvation. He said, whom shall I fear? He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, mine enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an army man came against me, I will not fear. The war may rise against me, and this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I, King David, may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. One thing. My trust comes from fellowship. My trust comes from obedience. That's all I need to know that my enemy is already subdued. This confidence, this knowing, this victory was his, and he knew it. He knew the power of obeying the Mosaic law. He said, I will walk in liberty because I seek your precepts. He said, trouble and anguish have overtaken me, but I do not forsake your ordinances. Princes sit and they speak against me. It's not according to your law. You are my hiding place. You are my shield. At night, I praise you because I remember your righteous judgments. 150 times, statutes, precepts, testimonies, commandments is used. 50 to 60 times the commandment to do these, the word of God was issued and given. He knew the power. He knew the power of obedience. He was so saturated in the presence of God in the cave. He was so saturated in God that he knew that he would come out of it. He had confidence that he would come out of whatever he was in. Because he knew that if someone lied against him or they offered up lies against him, he said, there's no way possible that this will stand. Father, I keep your word. I know I'm going to be delivered. I can't see right now. But if I continue to obey the word of my Father, if I continue to thank him for what he has done 2,000 years ago, I will see again. I will see again. I will see again. The Psalms have saturated me. Completely saturated me. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So I can't taste and see that he's good lest I what? Lest I trust in him. I can't trust in him lest I fear him. And I can't fear him lest I seek him. That's the order of Psalms 34. He said, come unto me. Listen to me. Let me teach you the fear of the Lord. He said, come unto me. I'm going to give you a secret. And Peter quoted this in 1 Peter. He said, listen to me. Listen, come to me. Come to me. Come here. Listen. I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man that desires life and loveth many days that he may see good? Me? This is what he said. Come to me, Kirsten. Come to me, Harry. Come to me, Betty. Come here. Come here. I'm going to tell you a secret. My little granddaughter, Mia, that's the little chubby one. Grandpa, Jalen hit me and it hurt. But can I tell you a secret, Grandpa? Yeah, baby. It's a secret. Promise it's a secret. Yeah, I hit her first. That's our secret, Grandpa. It's a secret. But she spanked her, Grandpa, because she hit me. I said, well, baby, you hit her first. It's a secret. David's saying, come here. You want prosperity? You want the blessings of Almighty God? Come here. Hearken unto me. And I, King David, will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man that desires life and loveth many days that he may see good? He said, keep your tongue from evil and your lips that they speak no guile. Depart from evil and do good. I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. You can't walk in the fear of the Lord lest you seek him, lest you depart from evil and you do good. We've talked about good for a long time in God's kingdom. He's asking me to do good. If I do good, I'll taste and see that the Lord is good. It's the same Hebrew word. See, we want to taste and see we corporately. We want to see and taste that he's good walking in evil. I can't taste that he's good when I'm walking in evil, but I taste that he's good when I do the good that he asked me to do. Listen to me. Come here. Come here. I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man that desires life that he may see good, that loves many days that he may see good? Keep your mouth. What is it, Kirsten? Keep your tongue from me and your lips that they speak no guile. Let them depart from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. Here's the catcher. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. Is that simplicity or what? I had to watch. I got to be careful not saying names. I had to cut off my TV. I cut back on my Fox News about 70%, 80%. But I took it to heart. When a standing ovation is given, I took it to heart. When people were standing up, giving a standing ovation, knowing that a baby could be killed after 9 months, I took an offense. How can they stand up, Lord, and applaud something so hellacious? Dr. Ben Carson said the pain that an aborted baby goes through is incredible. I'm going to tell you something that my good friend Barry Johnson said. If you think you're born again and you say abortion is not wrong, you ain't born again. You don't have Christ in your heart. Call Barry Johnson, he said it. I believe that with all my heart. If you say you're born again, then the anointed one lives inside of you. The conviction of heaven lives inside of you, man. How are we going to applaud that kind of platform? Vote. Okay. Me personally, I voted for Mr. Trump. Me. Yes, he says some crazy things. Yes, he's sometimes divisive, but he's got enough brain in his mind to take up his life for little kids, little babies. I don't know if he's a believer or not, but he's done more for those of the Christian faith than any other president. In 2020, I'm voting again for him. Why, Homer? He don't like Mexicans. How do you know that? How do you know he doesn't like Mexicans? Well, because CNN said so. Let me tell you something. Now, yeah, I'm deviating a little bit on this rabbit trail. The liberal news is anti-God, my friends. It's anti-God. But I don't have the right. I don't have the right to take an offense at those that stand and applaud abortion. Christ came to ransom them too, man. Titus says, speak evil of no man. Speak evil of no man. Christ came to ransom the doctor that performs the abortion. One of the worst things I've ever done in my life is a young man that was not a Christian, I paid for an abortion. I would have 7 kids right now. I don't know how many grandkids, probably 15 by now. I remember the look on that young lady. It was at my wife, by the way. And I was not born again. It cost me $400-something, I still remember, on the way home from the abortion. And I thank a lot. I said, Lord, is there a way you can tell him or her that I said, I'm sorry? Can you tell them I'll see him again one day? They would have been about 30, 31 years old, 32 years old. And I'm not in torment about it. I just think, what kind of personality would they have had? I remember the look on the young lady's face as we drove back from St. Petersburg. If looks could kill, I would have been dead. And I was laughing, man. So it's a very sore spot with me, man. But I don't have the right, see, I don't have the right to judge the world. You know why? They're already judged. I don't have the right to condemn the world. They're already condemned. I got to forgive the world because they're not forgiven. That's why he told the woman in John 8, go and sin no more. Go sin no more. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no one condemned thee? No one, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't condemn her. She was already condemned. We're here to pull him out of that judgment by letting our light shine like a city set on a hill. So we don't speak evil about them. We don't speak God with our mouth. This isn't a religious cliche, but we genuinely pray for them. If we have ample opportunity, we love them. That's what we do. That is the fear of the Lord. That is trusting God. That seeing that he's good, seeing that he's good is because we trust him. And if we trust him, we fear him. And if we fear him, we're seeking him. The only platform that we have is the platform of the kingdom. I can't take an offense at someone like that. So I just cut my TV off. I watch a little bit to see what's going on. But I cut it way back, because you can live your life offended if you hear it over and over again. So I found myself now more than ever praying for those, everyone in the White House, and for Mr. Trump and his administration, for the Democratic Party, for the Republican Party. We're called to do that, man. We're called to do that. His eyes are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. That's us. We're here to bring them out of that judgment. We're here to see him out of that condemnation. Amen. Book of Psalms has rocked my world, man. Teach me the importance of absolute obedience to his word. Complete obedience. It's helped me with some of the little things that I struggle with. It's helped me to realize that even the little things that I struggle with, I can overcome them. It's a matter of choice. It's an absolute matter of choice. I find myself in the mornings, I quote that psalm. I can quote the whole psalm, but I'll just quote the first 3 verses. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you that my kidneys function. They filter 100%. I thank you that my blood pressure is 120 over 80. I thank you that my blood count, my sugar never exceeds 100, Lord. I thank you for opportunities to minister your word. I've had Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses come to my house. Recently, I was nice. Listen to this. You'll agree. I was nice. I let them talk. I said, you can talk, but I'm going to talk too. I had no problem, no conviction whatsoever being bold with them. Because you know why? They're spreading lies. I said, sir, you are spreading a false narrative. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, you really want to ask me that? You really want to ask? You're asking the wrong person. We believe in Jesus. He said, do you believe that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God? We believe in Jesus. Answer the question, man. Answer my question. Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? He said, to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Is that the only way into the kingdom? He never answered it. I said, you're talking about Jesus, but you're not giving the full message of the gospel. You're spreading lies, man. And I would say to you, have a good day, but no, I'm not going to wish that you have a good day. You're spreading a narrative. You're spreading the doctrine of devils, man. I had no problem telling him that. Then I shook his hand. I will bless the Lord at all times. I thank you, Father, for perfect health. I thank you that the revelation knowledge that you give me through the Holy Ghost, through the praying, and the Holy Ghost process, I thank you. Not only do I receive it, but I do it. See, he that gets exaltation in the kingdom is not he that knows it, but it's he that does it. You can be puffed up with revelation knowledge, but if you don't apply it, my friends, you can sound like a Pharisee, real good, but not doing God's word. There's peace, and there's a knowing, and there's a comfort in obedience that only obedience can bring you. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. Lord, I hope in your salvation. I will keep your commandments. When? Even when I can't see, it's not a crutch for me to walk in disobedience. Even in the hospital, as they keep sticking me with needles and this and that, and that's not a crutch. I will spread your gospel. I'll stand up for righteousness. I'll call the truth, truth, and I'll call a lie, lie. Regardless, I got family members now that are upset with me. You know what I'm fixing to say, right? I don't care. I don't care. I got friends that aren't saying anything to me anymore. I care, but I don't care. Tonight, I might get some complaints about what I said about a person thinking they're born again that believes in abortion. Well, if you want to complain to me, I'll give you my email address. Iwon'treadit.org. Iwon'treadit.org. Send it to me. Send it. It's I won't, all in caps, Iwon'treadit.org. We're radicals, man. We're peculiar people. Come unto me. Listen to me. And it's getting real hard to talk bad about people. I can hear the Apostle Peter quoting it also in 1 Peter chapter 2. Closing up, come to me, Harry. Come to me, Robert. come to me, Bailey. I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man that desires life and loveth many days, that he may say good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips that they speak no guile. Let him depart from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord, listen to me. If you incorporate that, listen to this promise. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. My God, simplicity. Now we know that we don't try to keep the Mosaic law. We know that. We know that's what David was referencing. You know that we keep the principles of the kingdom. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, that's us, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And blessed are ye when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. That's the righteousness that we are to walk in. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Confidence comes from one place, and that's from your quiet times with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you give yourself over to the Holy Ghost and you begin to partake of God's word, confidence comes from there. Prayers are answered when we believe the word of God and do it. There's confidence in that. And we seek with all our heart to walk in the love of God. I'm not going to leave here with giving you a false impression. I'm still a work in progress. Let me tell you something. The more and more I worship him, the more and more I praise him with a whole heart, the easier and easier it gets to obey his word. I'm learning. If I fall, thank God for 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of Goliath? Nope. The Lord is the strength of my life. Psalms 18, as for God, David says, his way is perfect. Why wouldn't I want to obey perfection? As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. His word is perfect, which is his way. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Wow. My God makes my feet like that of a deer. By my God, I can leap over a wall. He arms me with strength to the battle. By my God, I can run through a troop of demons. By my God, I can bend a bow of bronze. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation, let him be exalted. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. A wretch taught us this. An unregenerate man striving with all his heart to keep the Mosaic law, but he couldn't. You read the confidence that he had in the law, yet at the same time he's begging in the Psalms, God, help me keep this. Do you get that impression? He's bragging about it, but then he's saying, Lord, help me keep it. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. He was unregenerate, but he gave it his best shot, man. He was as close as he could to being born again without being born again. He saturated himself with scripture. I will bless the Lord at all times. When, David? At all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. I will make my soul praise the Lord. I won't give heed to a false narrative, but I will subdue it. If you don't give, if you give heed to a false narrative, you got no choice but to worry. Worrying times 10 will consume you. Well, Homer, I'm going through a hard time. I know you are. And your hard time is going to get harder and harder and harder till you stop having a victim's mentality. If you seek, you won't worry. And if you're worrying, you're not seeking. Amen. Did you get a little something out of it? Glory. Glory. So God is way, listen, before we go, just close your eyes. Listen to this. Listen to what David said in Psalms 18. Listen. Listen carefully. Close your eyes. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. He didn't say maybe. He said those that trust in his way that's perfect and proven, he will be an everlasting shield to them. Satan cannot touch us if we execute the word of God. Amen. Glory. Amen. Amen. All right, glory. Robert or Harry, the buckets, please. What time did I get done tonight? Oh, I got 30 minutes left. Sit back down. No. Thank you. You were a great audience. Keep praying for me. I'm still fighting. I'm still fighting in the spirit. If you remember me when you are praying, speak the word, man. Speak the word. Speak the word. I will see my grandkids. I'll see my wife. That woman. Can't say enough about her. So much appreciate her. Learned a lot from my wife. Always plays a servant's role all the time. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. Amen. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify your name. Thank you, Father. For I do believe my speech was straightened out tonight. I do believe you overly healed me, Lord. Thank you for the remembrance of the Holy Scriptures. Thank you that I am a victor through Christ in me, the hope of absolute glory. I thank this offering we're about to receive. Father, I know for sure that it is sown on excellent ground. We thank you for our pastor, and for Rex, and for all those that are out right now, Alex in Nebraska, Carl on his honeymoon. We thank you, Father. We're coming back Sunday to celebrate the resurrection. Wow. May we not forget and put all our emphasis on eggs, candy, and chocolate. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not being religious. But let's stay resurrection focused in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you so much for coming out. Let's stand up, please. Thank you again, Father, for this offering. Thank you that it's sown on good ground, Lord. We worship you and we praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, God bless you. Love you much.